Well, thanks, Alison, for that reading. Well, good morning, and thank you for joining us online at Cross Life Church this morning. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors of this church, and I'm going to be speaking from those passages as well as from other passages in the Bible as well. Our topic today is Jesus and the world. We heard from Gower last week that we live in a world of suffering and evil and pain. The big question we want to answer today is, how does Jesus feel about that? If you have any questions or comments during this talk as well, please go to Slido in your browser so you can see the address at the bottom and the number at the bottom, as well as the number of the particular kind of Q&A room that we have, and we'll be able to see those questions. Let me start by praying as we get into God's word. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you that we see in him what it means to be God and also what it means to be a human being. We pray that we may see the way that he approaches and deals with our world, and we pray that we may follow his example. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it was my first day of year 7 at high school. I was waiting at the front gates with my friend at the end of the day for my mum to pick me up, when out comes the principal of the school coming to talk to me and my friend. He's very nice at the beginning. He asks me and my friend kind of what year we're in. We said we're in year 7, how we found our first day at school. And then at the end of the conversation, he looks down and he sees that I don't have my school tie on. And he asks me, just focuses on me this time, why aren't you wearing your school tie? And I kind of said a little bit sheepishly, it was hot, so I took it off. And the school principal says nothing for a little while, but then he walks off. And as he walks away, he says, I'm going to pretend that I didn't see that. You see, we heard that last Sunday, the response is often what we do when we're confronted with sin and evil and suffering in the world. We know that there's a wrongness to the world. We're quite happy to say that there's a wrongness to the world, but often when it comes to doing something about it, our attitude is, I'm going to pretend that I didn't see that. We also heard last Sunday, though, that that is not God's response. When God sees the wrongness in his world, he is not going to pretend that he doesn't see that. God is deeply angry and offended at the wrongness of our world, because that is not what God wants for this world. But the question that we're going to look at today is, look, how does God express that offense and anger at the wrongness in our world? Well, what is God going to do about it? Does God express it in revulsion, in kind of separating himself from this world that offends him? We talked before about what revulses you. Look, I'm one of those strange people who absolutely loves pineapple on pizza. Hawaiian is probably my favorite pizza flavor. I grew up with it a lot as a kid, but I am absolutely aware that there are people who are completely revulsed by it. They can't stand it. And so what they do is they stay away from it. On the other hand, though, I cannot stomach the taste of Vegemite. And whenever Jen brings durian into the house as well, I will not open the freezer that we store the durian in. Is that what God does to us? Does God just remove himself from our world? Does God just hide himself away from that which offends him? Or maybe God does a different thing. Maybe God expresses his offense in judgment and condemnation. I've seen posts on Twitter and Facebook that follow the formula of, I saw this today, I didn't like it, people shouldn't do that, everyone else agree with me, please. Does God do that? Does God look down in sneering contempt of our world, just telling us that we have to do better? Or maybe God expresses his offense in destruction, you know, just tearing the whole thing down. This was a house in Illinois in the United States. This house was so infested with German cockroaches that the city council called the fire department not to put out a fire, but to start one. They were instructed to burn the whole house down. At the end of the burn, there were no roaches left alive and none that escaped to neighboring houses. And so the burn was a complete success. But does God do the same with our world? Is God's solution to all the suffering and evil in our world just to burn it all down? What we're going to do today is look at the life of Jesus. because Jesus is God's Son and Jesus shows the heart of God to us. We're going to look at several episodes from Jesus' life, how Jesus responds to the wrongness we see in our world. And we're going to see what we should do in response to that. So let's look at some episodes from Jesus' life. First one was the first Bible passage that we read. Jesus encounters a man with leprosy. This man says to Jesus, "If you will, you can make me clean." Notice that from the leper's perspective, it's not a question of Jesus' ability. It's only a question of whether Jesus wants to or not. And we see from the passage that Jesus does want to. He does the completely unacceptable and unhygienic thing of the time, but he touches the man and he heals the man. Second episode is the second Bible passage that we read. Jesus and his followers are in a boat and they encounter a natural disaster. There's a storm that threatens to overturn and drown all of them. Jesus is asleep in the boat at the time. And so the men, they wake Jesus up and they ask him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And Jesus wakes up and he calms the storm just by talking to it to show that he does care that people are perishing. Third episode is one of Jesus' friends named Lazarus who dies. Jesus is going to Lazarus's tomb, and on the way is one of the shortest verses in the Bible, just two words. It just says simply, "Jesus wept." You see, Jesus is weeping here because he's weeping at the fact that death has such power over people. But what he also does straight after weeping at this death that affects us all is he calls Lazarus out of the tomb. He raises him from the dead and he restores him to his family. So those are three episodes that we see from the story of Jesus' life. Now, just looking at those three little episodes, what do you think we can conclude about how Jesus responds to the wrongness of our world? In each of them, he faces a different wrong thing. He faces sickness. He faces natural disasters. He faces death. What do they show us about Jesus? Well, I think that they show us three things about Jesus. First thing that they show is Jesus cares. When the man with leprosy came to Jesus, the Bible specifically states that Jesus was moved with pity. When his followers in the boat ask Jesus whether he cares that they are perishing, Jesus reacted in a way that showed that he obviously did. And you do not cry, you do not weep at the death of a friend unless you are a person who cares. You see, Jesus, when he's confronted by the wrongness of this world, he doesn't look down on people as if they're beneath him. He doesn't condemn them. He doesn't judge them. He cares about them. And if he cares about them, well, it's reasonable to conclude that he cares about our world as well. He cares about the sickness and evil and death that we see in our world today. If we wanted to ask Jesus the question, "Jesus, do you not care that we are perishing?" The answer would, of course, be the same. It would be yes. Jesus' heart is moved. His gut wrenches when he sees the wrongness in our world. Jesus cares. The second thing that we can see in Jesus, though, is that Jesus engages. You see, even though the wrongness of this world offends him, Jesus still rolls up his sleeves and he gets in the dirt with his people. He doesn't separate himself from them. He doesn't shy away from this world like it's pineapple on pizza or Vegemite or durian. Jesus doesn't leave these people who offend him and just kind of fly off into space. He is willing to engage with this world that is wrong to him. Another pastor that I heard, when he was talking about his daughter, he said, "I don't want to be the kind of man who runs away from trouble. I want to be the kind of man who runs toward trouble." You hear that? It might seem stupid and silly to you until you recognize that that is actually what Jesus did for our world. You see, you run towards trouble when there are people in trouble that you want to save. And that's what Jesus does for us. Jesus engages with the wrongness of our world. And the third thing that we see from all these little stories is that Jesus cures the wrongness in our world. We see that Jesus' touch, Jesus' words, Jesus' very presence causes the wrongness of this world to just kind of shrink back away from him. Jesus might not be afraid of the wrongness of the world, but it seems like the wrongness of the world is actually afraid of Jesus. Lepers, the diseased, and even the dead are healed. Natural disasters are calmed. And you see this moral change in people as well when they come into proximity with Jesus. In other places in the Bible, you see that tax collectors and prostitutes, they stop being corrupt and they live new lives as well. You see, Jesus, he doesn't burn it all down. Jesus doesn't destroy the good with the bad. He only takes out the bad stuff. Jesus cures. And so I hope that you see from all these episodes what an amazing man Jesus is, that he deals with the wrongness of this world in a way that is direct, but also compassionate and loving. But it gets even better, because Jesus cares and he engages and he cures the wrongness that we see in our world. But even more than that, Jesus cares and engages and cures more deeply with the sin that has caused the wrongness in the world. Before this current life as a pastor, I used to be a doctor. Even in my short time as a doctor, you would get people who came into hospital who already knew what they wanted, but not really in a good way. People addicted to drugs, seeking painkillers. People with viral infections, seeking antibiotics, even though they wouldn't work. When a person like that comes to you, it is an uncaring doctor who just gives the person what they want. A caring doctor at least tries to find out what's going on underneath the surface. A caring doctor tries to deal with the root cause of the problem. And that is Jesus and the world. It's not enough for him to care and engage and cure the wrongness of this world. He cares and engages and cures our sin that caused it. Sin is turning away from God, and that's what we've all done. We've heard last week that that is the root cause of the trouble in the world, not wanting to live God's way and wanting it to live our way. Well, Jesus, he deals with that too. You see this in another episode from Jesus' life. There's a time when Jesus is teaching in a house and there are some friends of a paralyzed man and they want to get this guy to Jesus. They want their friend to be healed. But the house is too crowded, so they dig a hole in the roof and they lower the guy down. And Jesus sees this guy. He sees his paralysis and he sees his friends who brought him. Jesus has the initiative here. He gets to say the first word. But you've got to notice the first words that he says are not "be healed." The first words that he says to this man are, "Son, your sins are forgiven." In Jesus' mind, this man's sin is a bigger problem than his paralysis. He heals the man's paralysis as well, but it is telling that the first thing that Jesus thinks about, the first thing when this man comes down in Jesus' head, is not his paralysis, but his sin. And as you keep reading all the episodes in Jesus' life, you'll see that Jesus' greatest effort, his greatest sacrifice is spent not on healing people, but on dealing with their sin. Because he dies for our sins. He gives his entire life for our sins. He takes the punishment from God that we deserved, and he brings us back to God. And that's why it says in the Bible, verses like, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. And Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures." Jesus cares enough for our world to die for the sins of the world. He deals with the root cause of the problem. And I think that seeing these episodes from Jesus' life, I think they go a long way to answering the question that we often ask, does God care? People often look at the suffering in this world and they ask, you know, is this world some sort of sick joke on God's behalf? Is God just having a big laugh at our expense when he looks at this world? There is a Far Side comic where God is making the world and he sprinkles in this shaker that is labeled jerks. And God is thinking to himself, just to keep it interesting. You know, is that what God is like? Is he kind of laughing at our world, not just with jerks, but with the suffering and evil as well? Well, I hope that you see from Jesus' life that that is not the case. God is not indifferent, and he's not laughing in a scornful way. He cares, he engages, he cures, and he does this even though we cannot see him. There is a story about a woman, age of 34 years, who became blind due to a medical mistake. Her husband, who was an Air Force officer, he cared for her, he loved her, and so he began by driving her to work every day, even though they worked at opposite ends of the city. But that couldn't last. It was too hectic and too costly. So eventually the husband suggested to his wife that she learn to take the bus. She felt angry and bitter at first. She felt like her husband was abandoning her. But he promised her every morning and evening that he would put his uniform on. He would ride the bus with her for as long as it took until she got the hang of it. Finally, the time came for this woman to try the trip on her own. And day after day, week after week, she made that trip blind on the bus, and she gained in confidence. One day, though, as she arrived at work and came off the bus, the driver said to her, "Boy, I sure envy you." She was confused. You know, who on earth would ever envy a blind woman who had only barely just managed to find the courage to live? And so she said, "Look, why do you envy me?" And the driver said, "You know, every morning for the past week, a fine-looking gentleman in a military uniform has been standing across the corner watching you when you get off the bus. He makes sure you cross the street safely and watches you until you enter your office building. Then he blows you a kiss, gives you a little salute, and walks away. It must feel so good to be taken care of and protected like you are." And that is Jesus and us. Even though we can't always see it, Jesus cares. And so knowing that Jesus is like that, what sort of things should we do? How should we respond to that care of Jesus for the suffering, for the wrongness that we see in our world? Well, there are three things that I think we can do to start. Admit, accept, and align. And so firstly, admit that we are part of the problem. Jesus does care that we are perishing. But in order to be helped by Jesus, you have to admit that you're perishing. Now, we can't be like the chronic smoker who doesn't think that they have a problem, or the delusional schizophrenic who says that it is everyone else who is wrong. Now, we have to understand and believe that there is a wrongness to this world. And that is because we as a human race have not lived God's way. And that includes us. We have turned away from God. And that is a big problem. It is the biggest problem in our lives, as Jesus shows us. The second thing is that we have to accept Jesus' help in dealing with the problem. Because as history has shown, sin and suffering are not problems that we can deal with ourselves. We have to believe that when Jesus came, he came to deal with the problems of this world. And most of all, he came to deal with the root cause, the biggest problem, our sin against God. We have to believe that he died to take the punishment for our sins. We have to believe also that because he died for us, we are now in a right relationship with God. We have to accept Jesus' help in dealing with the problem. And finally, we have to align ourselves with the agenda of Jesus. If Jesus cared and engaged and cured the problems of this world and the sin that caused it, well, that has to be our agenda too. We do what we can to ease people's suffering. We help those in need. We're a friend to the lonely. And I think especially in a time like this, we do those things. But even more than that, we do what we can to engage and care for and cure the problem of sin. Now, technically, we don't do that. We don't cure people of their sin. But what we do is we point people to Jesus, who does cure them of their sins. We show people that he has died for them. And we call people to accept his help. And those three things, admitting, accepting, and aligning, they are a great start to a life of following Jesus. And if you're interested in doing that, then please speak to someone you know from this church. We would love to help you to get on board with what Jesus is doing in the world. And so today we have seen some episodes in Jesus' life. And I hope that we've also seen that Jesus' response to the suffering in this world is a far cry from, I'm going to pretend that I didn't see that. Jesus cares about the wrongness in our world. He engages with the wrongness in our world and he cures the wrongness in our world. But even more than that, he cares and engages and cures our sin that caused it. Our response is to admit that we're part of the problem, accept Jesus' help in fixing the problem by dying for us, and align ourselves with Jesus' agenda. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize that we are in a fallen world, a broken world, a world that is affected by the sin that we have committed against you. Lord, we are sorry that we have decided to live your way and sorry, we've decided to live our own way and not your way. We're sorry that we have turned away from you. And Lord, we recognize that that has caused the problems in the world that we see today. Heavenly Father, we thank you, though, for sending your son, Jesus. Thank you that he still cares for our world. Thank you that he cares that we are perishing. Thank you that he engages with our world. He doesn't separate himself from our world. And thank you that he cures the suffering and evil that we see as well as the sin that caused it. Heavenly Father, we pray that we may admit that we're part of the problem. We pray that we may accept Jesus' help in dying for us to bring us back to you. And we pray that we may do our best in this life to follow Jesus in helping to relieve the suffering of others, but also, even more importantly, to see people saved from their sins that causes them. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.